Welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today is my friend Jonathan Holmes. Thanks for coming on the podcast today, Jonathan. Can you please tell us a bit about your life, your ministry, and some of the current projects you're working on?
Well, thanks so much, Dave, for having me. It's a real pleasure, and it's an honor to be with you and to be with your listeners. My name is Jonathan Holmes. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm married to a wonderful woman named Jennifer. We have four beautiful daughters, 7, 5, 3, and 7 months. So we've got a full house of women at my place. So we stay pretty busy. And I serve as the counseling pastor at Parkside. We have four different campuses. So I help train and teach our lay counseling staff as well as do counseling on the side. And then I have some campus pastoral duties at one of our campuses at Parkside. By way of projects, I mean, I've got a few things working here and there. I have a book proposal in with PNR right now, just a short primer on marriage counseling for pastors. Just how do you help different couples who come to you for marriage counseling? And then thinking and considering going back to school to do some more coursework. So that's probably the next big thing, next two big things on my agenda right now.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to reading that book and looking forward to hearing more about that school, your future schooling as well. Yeah. Can you please tell us a bit about your book, The Company We Keep in Search of Biblical Friendship, why you wrote it and how you hope it's received, please?
Yeah. You know, probably 2 years ago, a friend of mine who might be familiar to some of your listeners, Paul Tauchus, he was formerly a pastor up in Wisconsin, and he invited me to come up and do a men's retreat for his church. And he asked me to kind of prepare some things on friendship and specifically friendships among guys, among men. So it's always been an interest of mine. So I put together some talks and just had a great time of fellowship with the men from his church. And afterwards, he said, hey, you should, he goes, the content was great. He goes, maybe you could put it into like a mini book or something like that. And so we began talking, and eventually we realized we probably had more content than a mini book could hold. So he put me in contact with Cruciform Press, who's the publisher for my book. And I thought it was going to be a little bit easier. I'd never written an entire book before. I thought, I'll just kind of take these six sermons and, you know, turn in the manuscripts and away we go. But like I'm sure many people tell you who are attempting to write a book, it was not that easy. So we had to clean up a lot, and the editors at Cruciform were very helpful and very kind and helped me kind of take those original talks that I had given at the retreat and tool them into chapters for the book. So that's how the book came about. Really, my biggest goal and my biggest hope is that people, men and women, teenagers, children, wherever you're at in life, that you pursue biblical friendship. I think it's probably one of the least talked about relationships in the church, but I would say one of the most important ones that we have at our disposal to talk about and to engage in. So that's really my hope. I'm most encouraged when people tell me they've picked up the book and have read it and that it's really encouraged them to take their current friendships deeper or to form and forge new friendships.
Well, I really enjoyed the book. You're welcome. And this kind of piggybacks on what you were just saying. What is your definition of biblical friendship?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the short definition that I'd give is I would say it's a friendship that is specifically focused and founded and based on Jesus Christ. And so the benefit then of a biblical friendship, at least from how I understand it, is that it's really the most inclusive opportunity to build a relationship, because anybody who is in Christ, who has a personal relationship with Christ, the ability to form a friendship is there, because the common foundation is Christ. It's also a type of relationship, though, too, because having a friendship centered on Christ, that is the foundation. And so I don't think, at least the type of friendships I'm talking about in the book, I don't think it's possible to have those kind of friendships with unbelievers per se. So the simplest definition I typically tell people is it's a Christ-centered relationship. It's a Christ-centered relationship where the two people are pursuing this mutual goal of Christ-likeness together wherever God has them, in life, whatever stage of life, whatever geographic location, wherever God has you. So
that's good, man. That's really good. Why do you think there's so little written on this topic?
You know, I mean, I've asked myself that too, because as I was trying to do research and compile the book together, I was trying to find source material and things like that. And I just realized there wasn't a lot out there. And I don't know, maybe a couple of things come to mind is that I think it's probably just a term that gets thrown around quite a bit. It's a bit diluted. I mean, there's TV shows about friendships. I mean, people talk about friendships, but the phrase itself, I think, has probably gotten a bit lost in terms of what it means. You know, everybody's got friendships. Everybody has friends. Everybody has a best friend or what have you. But in terms of really diving in and picking apart what a robust biblical friendship really is, I don't know. I feel like most people don't want to pursue the hard work that's involved in figuring that out and then in actually forging and forming those. So it's just, you know, it's a term that, I don't know, I think has lost a lot of significance for a lot of people. You know, maybe, you know, a quick illustration would be just how Facebook has affected friendships. You know, you can have thousands of friends on Facebook. And so people can think, man, I've got 1,200 friends on Facebook, or I've got this many friends on whatever media platform. But in reality, we realize, of course, those aren't real friendships in terms of how Scripture talks about them and articulates them. So that's maybe one reason why. It's just culturally, you know, we've lost a little bit of the gravitas and heft of what friendship is from the Bible.
That's a great answer. What can pastors and ministry leaders and Bible study leaders do to promote a biblical view of friendship in their ministries?
No, great question. When I get asked a lot, and my go-to answer is, I say, you model it. You should have friends, right? You know, people I hear in pastoral ministry and anybody who's involved in a position of influence in the church, you know, it can be a very lonely place. And I think a lot of times pastors and ministry leaders, and we probably don't have good friendships ourselves. And so if we're trying to encourage the people that we lead and shepherd to have good friendships, and they see our own life maybe as bereft of those, you know, there can be a bit of a disconnect. You know, hey, you're encouraging me to have friends, but you don't have any friends. And so I always tell people, hey, one of the best ways that we teach our people about friendship, one of the best way we can encourage them towards it, is that we've got to be living it ourselves in our own life. And that means that as ugly as they can be, as dysfunctional as they can sometimes be, as hard as they can be, all of us really need to be committed to pursuing Christ-centered friendships in whatever position we're at. And I think once people see that, and once it begins to bear fruit in our own lives and in our own ministries, I think that there's something very, very winsome about the testimony of a good friendship that, I don't know, I think is very appealing to many people. So that's typically my first thing that I tell people is, hey, model it. You've got to have friends. If you are going to encourage people to have friends, you've got to have them in your own life.
One question I like to ask pastors is, how can we pursue friendship with you guys?
Yeah. You know, I think that question, it's a wise one, because it shows that sometimes the pastor can't be doing all the pursuing, and they can't be facilitating all of the different arrangements, as it were, for friendship. And that I would actually find in my experience, and as I've talked with other people, that when a pastor is pursued in friendship, it is a wonderful thing, you know, especially when it's done from a good motivation, out of a desire to love and to care and to build one another up. You know, one of the things I tell people is, don't feel like you have to start super deep, as it were. You know, when you're trying to build a friendship with a pastor or a ministry leader, we're normal people just like you, you know. And so the first time you're sitting down for a meal or having coffee, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, inherently or intensely theological or deep. You know, it can just be the simple exchange of, you know, who are you? What do you enjoy? You know, what are things that you enjoy doing? Tell me a little bit more about yourself. I would just say that the basic details of life, those kind of things, I think, are good foundational points to help building a friendship. And at least in my experience, sometimes if a person is coming on and they want to build a friendship and they feel that need to just right away go really deep, really quickly, that, you know, that can be scary. That can be a bit intense, and it can maybe sometimes make the friendship, it can dig the friendship so deep that there's not enough room to just enjoy one another's company, you know? And I think that's an important aspect of friendship, is just enjoying one another's company, enjoying being with one another. So, you know, in terms of how can people pursue pastors, I'd say you want to make sure you have a good mix of both of those dynamics, of just enjoying life and having good intentional and intimate conversations with each other.
Thank you. That was a great answer, and I agree. What are the marks and purposes of biblical friendship?
You know, I mean, one of the places that I think, of course, is the go-to place to learn about relationships and friendships in particular is, of course, the Proverbs. The Proverbs paint this wonderful picture of not just relationships, because, again, relationships is just, I kind of see relationships as just this generic, you know, umbrella term. There's a specificity to friendship that, you know, that brings along with it privileges and duties and responsibilities. And the Proverbs really highlight that. And I think that in particular, I mean, you could probably put down a lot of character qualities or characteristics of what a good friendship has. But in the book, at least, I mentioned four. The first one would be constancy, just that a friend is there. He's present. He's going to be with you. He's not just a fair weather person who's in one day and out the next, but there's a constancy of presence and of just relationship. The other one is candor. You know, just a good friend, the Proverbs tells us, is going to be one who is willing to speak truthfully and honestly into your life. Proverbs 27:6, you know, says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." And one of the marks, I think, of many modern friendships that is missing is that mark. In our friendships now, I think in many ways, they're much too fragile. They can't really hold up the weight of confrontation or speaking the truth in love. And so you either hold it in or you gossip about it to somebody else, but you never really talk to the other person. And so friendships fall apart very easily. But the Proverbs say, listen, there should be this wonderful back and forth, this speaking openly and honestly and clearly to one another that in many ways doesn't tear friendships apart, but actually I think builds them together. Carefulness is another one. There's a real consideration and carefulness to friendships. You know, there's the old, I think Benjamin Franklin maybe said it, you know, that fish and visitors stink after 3 days. And in the Proverbs, it's very clear that, you know, friendship has its limits too. You know, that there's got to be a tactfulness, there's got to be a conscientiousness to how we do friendship that considers the other person's interests, their life, and just where they're at. And then the last aspect that I mentioned in the book is just counsel, just a good friendship. They're constantly trying to build one another up into Christ's likeness, and that kind of maybe tips my hand into the purpose of friendship, which you asked. But I think a good friendship, and this again is going to push against what the culture would say friendship is for. A culture is going to be about you. It's about your enjoyment, and so that you don't have to be lonely, so that you can, you know, have all these people that you can hang out with on the weekends or places on vacation with. You know, friends are just really there for your personal enjoyment. The scriptures, I think, paint a much more transcendent purpose, and that is that it is within friendship that we really have opportunity to grow in Christ's likeness together, which is really how it's done best, I think. And because of how we're created in the image of God, we're created to be community beings. Friendship opens up the best opportunity for us to work out our salvation with one another, to grow in what it's like to care, to bear burdens, to weep, to grieve, to mourn, to cry, to laugh, to rejoice. All of those things inherently they're relational. You need to be doing them together. And so not only is it a mark of friendship, but I actually think that in its ultimate purpose, friendship helps all of us live into that purpose of imaging God and growing in Christ likeness in a very tangible way.
Wonderful. You were talking there about, you know, friendship and bearing the load of confrontation. How do we do that well in the context of friendship?
Yeah, well, that's I'll tell you this, Dave. I think that out of the four marks between constancy, candor, carefulness, and counsel, the feedback that I get personally, the one that's hardest for me and the one that I find most people have the hardest part with is that dynamic. How do you do that? How can you confront in love? How do you speak the truth in love? And, you know, one of the things that I, at least has been medicine for my own soul, is that the fear of not doing it and the fear of not having it mark a friendship, it only increases over time, meaning that we get so afraid of doing it that the specter of ever even having a conversation like that, it's terrifying. You know, many of us just, if we're very conflict averse or we don't like conflict, we stay away from it. And over time, hurts or disappointments or different things like that can just get stuffed away. They can get kind of just put underneath the scope of the relationship. So I try to tell people, if you can incorporate it into your conversation a little bit more naturally, a little bit more organically, I think it helps alleviate some of that fearfulness and some of that hesitation. So it needs to become, I think, a part of just everyday conversations where there is a free-flowing exchange of being able to raise things to people's attention, to encourage, to warn, to confront, to exhort. I think sometimes we get the idea that confrontation is, I'm sitting you down, I'm telling you, you know, this is how you've sinned against me, and, you know, it's this very involved process. But it can be a lot more well-rounded than that, I think, in terms of all that we see in the Proverbs and then in the rest of Scripture, in terms of exhortation, encouragement, building one another in love. That phrase from Paul in Ephesians 4:14 through 16, I think, is so helpful, is speaking truth in love. And all three of those constituent parts then are kind of the barometers for what I'm looking for in a conversation like that. Am I speaking? Is it verbal? Is it truthful? Is it honest? Is it praiseworthy? And is the manner I'm doing it in, is it loving? Is it gentle? Is it spirit-led? And is it spirit-empowered? And some of the best conversations I've had in friendships have been when, by God's grace, we've been able to talk about hard things like that, and we've been able to speak truth and love to one another. And I can only tell you from personal experience, I think that when that does happen, it qualitatively changes the nature of the friendship. It makes it much more strong. It makes the friendship 10 times more resilient than I think a friendship that doesn't have that as a mark and as a characteristic.
No, that was a great answer. Just wonderful. Thank you so much. What future writing topics do you want to write on?
I mean, that's some people say, you know, some people have to write for themselves. Other people are writing for others, meaning, you know, some people just, they've got just tons of content that they need to get out. And even if it never sees the light of day, you know, they just need to write, as it were, for their own soul and for their own well-being. I'd probably put myself in the latter category of I don't mind writing, but it's probably not my best gift. My editors at Cruciform were more than helpful and cleaned up all of the grammatical errors that I committed and everything else content-wise. So in terms of writing, I enjoy writing, but again, there's so much out there on the market too, I think, that I'm happy and content to have other people contribute. But I do have an interest in counseling-related issues, so in marriage, family counseling, at least this new book is headed towards that. I have a great desire to see just everyday people in the church be equipped in knowing how to move and care for one another and how to grow in relational wisdom. So those would probably be interest for me, for sure. Anything in that realm, as it were. But like I said, it's definitely a labor of love, and I'm not going to quit my day job, as it were, become a full-time writer by any means.
Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share about your book?
Well, I mean, I'm always thankful to talk about this topic. And, you know, here's a general encouragement, you know, whenever I have the chance to talk, is, you know, a lot of times people when we talk about friendship, I'm finding more and more people are lonely and they've been hurt in friendships, and it's been hard for them to move forward. They know the biblical teaching on relationships and friendship. They know that they should have friends, but just the practicalities of just putting one foot out in front of the other, it can seem daunting. It can seem very hard, especially if you've been hurt or betrayed, or you know, you've been sinned against in a relationship before. That first move, as it were, can be really hard. So what I would tell all your listeners would be just to prayerfully consider what's one small thing today that you can do to move towards somebody. You know, who's around you, who's in your life that you see that you would say to yourself, I can build a friendship with this person. And if we go back to our original definition, you know, it's regardless of, you know, station in life, age, kids, no kids, the fundamental characteristic that you're looking for to move towards someone in friendship is, are they a believer? Do they have faith in Christ? That's the starting point. If you've got that as a starting point, from there, I would say you can build a friendship with anyone that shares that common foundation. So look around, who in your life has God presented to you, and then just prayerfully consider what's one step I can take to move towards that person in friendship. And if you can do that, then the next day you say, what's another step I can take? And you just go on from there.
Great stuff. Thank you so much for your time today, Jonathan. I really appreciate it. And I always appreciate your encouragement over Facebook Messenger and enjoy what you write. So thank you for coming on our podcast today, and may the Lord bless you and keep you.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, Dave, and I appreciate all the work that you and your team are doing at Servants of Grace through writing, through blogging, through the podcast. You guys are machines over there, and you guys are churning out fantastic content for the church, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for that kind encouragement. Praise the Lord.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.